Atheist Nomads, episode 209, The God of the Gaps.
The podcast you're about to listen to includes cursing and talking about hoo-haws. Please be advised.
Welcome to another episode of Atheist Nomads. I am Dustin. Joining me is Lauren.
Hi, everybody.
And
Rocco.
My niece, senior education major at University of Idaho, Alicia Williams. Alicia, welcome to Atheist Nomads.
It's good to be here.
And our listeners have heard about you before, but I don't think ever by name before.
Ah, just the niece.
The niece, yep. Yeah, yeah. Thank you so much for joining us. She's back in the valley for the summer and heading back to school again soon, so I wanted to try to get her on.
We roped her in like cattle.
Which is actually kind of amazing that you even came, since we just spent a weekend with family.
We did, but like we said, we've got a lot in common.
Mm-hmm.
We're the good family.
I have a new hypothesis that Alicia and I were both switched at birth and just happened to be from the same family, and just coincidentally, despite being born in different hospitals in different states, we're actually the ones that are related, not related to everybody else. Yep.
Sounds about right.
I think your brother would disagree with that.
Yeah.
Maybe a little.
Probably. Yeah. I think everybody would, especially since I do look a lot like one of my brothers and definitely a lot like my mom.
Yes, you definitely look a lot like grandma.
Yeah.
Well, good. She's a good person to look like.
Yeah. All right. Well, let's go ahead and jump into dusting off the degree. And this is going to be kind of along the same theme as the last few, which is talking about themes from my own personal late stages of my deconversion process. And the one I want to talk about this time is the God of the Gaps. This is a common thing for more educated Christians and people who are going through doubts to eventually get to. And it is absolutely guaranteed to be a short-term solution. And the basic concept of a God of the Gaps is, if you don't have a scientific explanation that you think works, God did it. Well, that worked all right about 300-400 years ago. I would say it was even sustainable 150 years ago. But with evolution and as far as we've come with physics, there's really only two points where a God of the Gaps actually really makes sense. And that's abiogenesis and the Big Bang. And if you're down to a God that was only needed twice in 13.7 billion years, what do you really have there?
Yeah, I actually remember going through this a little bit in high school when they started teaching evolution and biology in sophomore year. And there was an LDS boy I knew that tried to find excuses to miss class because he believed that we should not be teaching evolution in schools, and trying to challenge him on the facts and the, you know, that this is the evolution actually happened. He just got angry, mm-hmm, and didn't listen
and shut down and
mm-hmm. Yeah. Right, because if he were to accept that, his God would get smaller.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a lot of Christians who refuse to accept evolution because they don't want a God of the Gaps. There are some who have managed to pull it off. Francis Collins is a great example. He is an amazing scientist, does amazing work, and yet still believes in God. There are scientists who do pull it off, but it's your God either has to pull that off well, your God either has to get a lot smaller or a lot bigger. And just like you can get the God of the Gaps as you know, you go from a personal, like, Christian God to a kind of a deistic God who is directing everything to eventually just a God of the Gaps, which is the track I took to where I didn't need a God of the Gaps anymore. You also get people who go the other direction, where God, as more things begin to become understood, basically just becomes the collection of the laws of physics or some other kind of pantheistic type of god, not in the way that Buddhists, Hindus, and hippies believe, but just this god is the universe. And that is equally, like, a god that big is as equally meaningless as a god of the gaps that is only needed twice.
Yeah, you don't have that personal relationship that is pushed so much in modern day culture.
Mm-hmm. And you'll even get some who effectively have a god of the gaps who they think is still their personal best friend. And I don't know why, because, well, that doesn't make much sense. Why would a god who only needed to start the universe and start life give a shit about a human?
Faith is an amazing thing.
Yeah. Once you know that...
It's quirky.
Yeah. Once you know and accept common ancestry of all life, including humans, we're basically hairless monkeys that can do math. We're not that special.
I can't do math, so I'm excluded from that definition of human.
Yeah.
Okay, sorry.
There are many people that I went to school with that would have been very angry by that statement.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
You were there at my graduation.
I was.
You saw it, both of you.
Oh, man. Uh-huh.
And I talked about it on the show.
We kept our mouths shut, but yeah, that was awkward.
Uh-huh. Yeah, I like you requested, I did not mention what school it was, but I did contact FFRF about it.
How did that go?
It wasn't a... Because I wasn't a student or the parent of a student, I didn't even get a response.
Mm.
They get like 2,000 complaints about public high school graduations every year. And they can't handle that kind of volume. Unless it's a case where you've got really solid standing. And yeah, an uncle doesn't have that good of standing.
Mm-hmm.
Or any. Actually, straight up just zero.
Yep. And your last name is Williams, and that doesn't mean anything.
No, it doesn't.
Which Williams?
All of them. That's why there's an S at the end.
Oh, yes. Yes. Yep. All right. Well, let's go ahead and take a quick break, which we haven't recorded new bumpers. But Atheist Nomads is proudly brought to you by Archway Hosting. Check out their low-price, full-featured hosting solutions at archwayhosting.com. That's A-R-C-H-W-A-Y hosting.com. We're also brought to you by listeners just like you. You can find out more about how to become a patron at patreon.com/atheistnomads. That's patreon.com/atheistnomads, or just look for the link on the right side of our page at atheistnomads.com. Just like Josh, who I think I might have mentioned last week. Like I said, we're with family this weekend, so I am a little bit underprepared.
That's okay.
Yeah.
Bucky is distracting our guest as well, so
it's just so darn cute.
Can't resist the corgi face, Bucky.
All right, we've been tracking a story for a few weeks now about the Ark Encounter being in trouble. So it started with their financials just being, well, sucking because attendance is sucking, and the town is pissed off because they shelled out a lot of money for this and aren't getting anything. And Ken Ham is blaming the town for not creating a tourist trap for his Ark Encounter. Well, they had intentionally created it as a for-profit corporation, mostly so they can get tax incentives. $18 million in tax incentives.
Wow.
Like,
that's crazy.
Their sales tax they charge to enter, they return back to the town. Most of their property taxes, they get back. It's worth $18.5 million, and their tax bill for property taxes was supposed to be $700,000. And just like how they've already skirted non-discrimination hiring policies by doing all of their hiring through Answers in Genesis, a not-for-profit, faith-based organization that is exempt from discrimination laws, they just sold the property to a subsidiary of Answers in Genesis that is not-for-profit for $10.
Oh, shady.
So they don't have to pay taxes on that land sale, and they don't have to pay their property taxes. FFRF has complained about this, and they are now no longer going to be getting the $18.5 million in tax rebates.
I'd hope so.
You mean $700,000 in tax rebates?
$18.5 million over the next 20 years.
Oh, okay.
That is now put to a final end because, yeah, they can't claim to be a secular not-for-profit organization anymore by any stretch of the term.
No.
So that is nice to see that it is continuing to circle the drain.
Yeah.
The King County Board of Health has voted 11-1 on a new rule which will require warning signs disclosing that pregnancy centers provide limited services, specifically that they are not healthcare services if they don't provide full healthcare services or at least information and referrals.
Oh, so those little pop-up shops that will give you a free pregnancy test and then give you a whole bunch of stuff about how abortion is evil?
Yes.
Aren't considered health clinics?
Yep. They are faith, in almost every single case, they are faith-based organizations. They are ministries designed to talk women out of getting abortions. And yeah, they now have to disclose, we are not a healthcare facility. Prominently posted in signs in the building.
Yes. Yes, for women everywhere.
Especially the ones that are a little less educated.
Yeah. Definitely.
Now, one group this is going to be affecting is very unhappy for a possibly legitimate reason, and that their center is actually staffed by medical professionals, including doctors.
Who is this?
This is CareNet Pregnancy and Family Services of Puget Sound. And they think they are actually healthcare facilities because they do have doctors and nurses and do perform or do provide actual healthcare. And they think they're just being punished because they don't offer abortions.
Oh, okay. Well, then they could go to the city and argue their case and probably be exempt from it, right?
The particular rule seems to be written in such that it would apply.
Oh, I can kind of get the complaint then. I mean, but that's one out of 100 of these clinics.
Yeah. Yeah. The decision they made is that they want, if you don't provide complete medical information, which I think realistically all they would need to do to satisfy that requirement would be to give women a handout that explains that abortion is an option, but they're not going to do that.
Okay, then. Well, seems like a pretty easy out, and if they're not willing to take it, then
shout out of luck, I guess.
Yeah.
Yeah. This is what I do think is kind of a bit of a gray area with cases where it actually is a healthcare facility. The wording they chose of having to post, this is not a healthcare facility. If you go into, this is Seattle we're talking about. If you go into a OB clinic run by Providence Health and Services, a Catholic healthcare organization, they are not going to be telling patients about abortion options. I highly doubt King County is going to say that Providence is not a healthcare facility because of that.
Yeah, that's
a hard one.
I guess if you're not big enough, then too bad.
So
you could kind of say the same thing with a lot of, especially seems to be a lot of cake companies now or wedding cake companies now that don't want to make cakes for gay couples. I mean, technically they have the right to say no.
Actually, they don't, because they are businesses of public accommodation, and under civil rights laws, if gays and lesbians are considered to be a protected class, you are not allowed to discriminate if you run a business that is open to the public.
Yeah, I was always told that, at the frozen yogurt shop I worked at, they had a sign that says, I have the right to refuse service to anyone.
Yeah, and if you try to refuse service to someone who is black because that person is black, you just broke the law. Those signs started going up when they couldn't say no colors here as code for black people can't do business here. And They just can't enforce it, but it gets the message out there. Mm-hmm. And that's why those signs stay up. Those are not enforceable. Because if you try to refuse service to anybody that's in a protected class, if you refuse women because they are women, or you refuse minorities because of their ethnicity, you can't do that. And in more and more states, you can't discriminate against people because of their sexual orientation.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a little bit different situation. One thing I see as an issue for that King County is probably looking at is Providence Health and Services. The state of Washington has reached the point where a quarter of all hospital beds are directly run by the Catholic Church. And that keeps getting worse. Like we talked about a story a while back about Walla Walla General Hospital being, they're going to do a transfer of membership from the from Adventist Health to Providence. That ended up being refused by the state. So Adventist Health is just shutting it down.
Yeah. So that's ridiculous.
Yeah, it is. They're going to reach a point where they're going to have to just, and I think that's what they're trying to do here. Like they're trying to do a test case to see if they can do it, where they can start taking privileges away from hospitals, taking licensure or whatever away from hospitals who don't provide basic medical necessity, at least medically necessary abortions. Because that is a definite major concern in the state of Washington right now is whether or not that's even an option anymore. And I wonder if that's kind of what they're going for here.
Yeah, it could be. We're going to have to see the state or government step in sooner or later. You know, there's only so many women that can die from miscarriages or so many, you know, before somebody steps in.
Yeah. Yeah. And state of Washington has been trying to crack down on it slowly. I do fully expect this to go to court, and it'll be interesting to see how that ends up going.
Yeah.
Which brings us to Alabama.
Alabamers.
Where a 12-year-old girl was raped and got pregnant. She was granted a judicial bypass by the Alabama Civil Court of Appeals and had the sign off from the local district attorney. Back that up. The local district attorney refused to allow her to get an abortion. She took it to the Civil Court of Appeals, which went ahead and granted her the right to bypass her parents' approval. Her father is abusive, and her mother, is also abusive and reacted violently to her daughter getting pregnant. Her daughter was fucking raped.
Yeah.
So this girl has gone to, at 12, she's gone to the legal system to get access to an abortion. At 12. That's impressive.
She's definitely old enough to make a decision if she has abortion or not.
I would say at 12, due to the amount of risk, the default should be an abortion.
I agree.
The only exception I would say would be if the girl and her parents are all absolutely, or actually no, I'm not even going to say that. If the girl is absolutely sure she does not want one, then that should be taken under some consideration. But the default should be an abortion at fucking 12.
Especially in a rape case like that.
Yeah. of course, now, a number of groups, including the legal director of the Administrative Office of Courts, is calling out this girl, bad-mouthing the court that approved the abortion, and calling this girl a murderer.
Yeah, well, better than murder-suicide later, I guess. But no, you don't call a 12-year-old the god.
Pretty fucked up.
Yeah, it is. And this is why people push for, if you want to have restrictions on abortions, at least allow rape cases to go through, because this happened. This isn't a one-off. It only got in the news because the guy called her a murderer.
Yeah.
Otherwise it would have been just like all the other 12, 13 year olds that get raped and get pregnant. It would have just gone under the radar.
Mm-hmm.
But
yeah,
it's messed up.
Like almost every attempt to ban abortion always leaves rape and incest as exceptions because, well, incest is almost always rape as well. And a lot of those rapes are, 12, 13-year-old girls. In fact, there was a story out of Brazil a couple years ago with a 9-year-old.
Yeah. I highly doubt this girl had just gotten raped once and then got pregnant.
Let's go ahead and move on to a local story. Michael Snyder is a radical right-wing religious pundit who has now announced that he is running for the first congressional district seat for Idaho. This is being vacated by Raul Labrador, who is running for governor. Snyder is a frequent guest of Alex Jones and has been posting videos on his YouTube channel promoting his campaign and issues that he thinks are so important, like going to war with Planned Parenthood until it ceases to exist and abortion ends in all 50 states. He is also in 100% support of the organization Health Freedom Idaho, which is an anti-vax, anti-fluoride organization, and says that he personally shares these views. And he's running for governor, for Congress.
He won't get very far.
Are you sure?
I'm fairly sure, but that crazies get in sometimes. I mean, it's definitely a possibility, but this guy's just a little too wing batty, even for most Republicans.
I know many people that have quite of the same views as he does. So,
wing batty. That's the word.
Yep. I like it. He has a shot. This is a state where we have a perennial gubernatorial candidate in the Republican primary every year who legally changed his name to pro-life.
Yeah, I thought that was who you were talking about at first, but
no, this is somebody else.
Somebody new to make fun of. That's awesome. More fodder for our show.
Now, yeah, for the sake of the show, it would be kind of cool if he did win, but that'd be terrible for, the country, because he wants to get into Congress. That doesn't just affect Idaho. That affects the entire country. But this guy is, he's nuts. He is absolutely nuts. I hope he flounders early in the primary.
That's what we all hope, right? That's when you have these crazy candidates and then one gets elected president and your entire foundation for your belief in politics is shaken.
Yep. Like normally I would actually hope that he does well in the primary, that he wins the primary and the first congressional district, which was generally left-leaning until a bunch of Californians moved up and ruined it. Cause what happens when like the most conservative 0.1% of Californians all move to Northern Idaho, is the area turns very, very, very conservative.
Mm-hmm.
And that is what happened. Liberal California made Idaho more conservative.
Yeah.
And, but there's still that little shimmer of hope that if he did that, first congressional district could go blue again. But yeah, Trump proved that crazy can win.
And if he's that, dedicated to getting rid of Planned Parenthood, that will win in a lot of Idahoans, views. So
a lot of actual Idahoans and those same conservative Californians that moved up to get away from liberal California.
Mm-hmm.
This one is actually a little bit scary. And yeah, that district, it went from being the more reasonable half of Idaho.
Yeah, it was so nice in the 90s.
Like
early 2000s.
They went back and forth, switching party lines. They elected moderate candidates from both party. They elected people who could reach across the aisle and help work on bipartisanship. And now, nope, they elected Raul Labrador. He is one of the craziest Tea Party batshit wing bats in Congress right now.
Good use of wing battery.
Batshit wing bat, yep. And he wants to be our governor. And he might actually have a shot.
He definitely does. I'm just glad I'm going to be back in Moscow in a in a couple of weeks.
Breathe that nice blue air.
Yes.
Are you getting tired of the West Valley?
Oh, yes. It's, I don't see as many of my conservative friends from high school as much as I used to. So that's good, but it's always nice to be back in Moscow.
Yep. Yep. Oh, man.
Especially in all my English classes and education classes. Very, you know, very liberal and...
intellectual liberals.
Yes, mm-hmm. Definitely.
Open-minded people who...
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. That sounds pleasant.
Doesn't it?
Especially on my English classes, because every single one of them, especially my literature courses, everyone is very open-minded, because they have to be, because there's no right answer in literature.
There are wrong answers. I did learn that in school. There are wrong answers about literature. This sucked is the wrong answer.
Exactly. But are there right answers? Not always.
Yes. Same with art. My art class in college, I slept through almost every class period. The classroom was about 5 degrees too warm, and it was right after lunch, and she turned off the lights and did a slideshow, and it ended up being my nap class. And we had to do art journals, and I mostly journaled about how I didn't like the art and how I don't like journaling. And the teacher did not like that.
And it shows.
Yeah.
Whenever there's a new public statue unveiling, he's like, that's not art. I'm like, yeah, it is. He's like, no, it's not. Just,
yeah.
No discussion of the philosophical meaning or anything. He's like, nope, that is just ugly.
There's ugly, and then there's, that's cool, but that's not art. Like somebody put tiles in one of the courtyards in Boise with lines between them. They're the constellations. That's cool. You have most of the night sky there on the ground. That is neat. That is cool. I never would have guessed that was art.
You could consider engineering as art.
No.
You could consider it. Art is more, I guess it's like the beauty is in the eye of the beholder.
Exactly.
Engineering is science, so it is not art.
Dude,
science and art intersect all the time.
Exactly.
No.
All the time.
No.
Go to an art museum with this guy, you know?
And I enjoy art museums. That's as long true. As they have stuff that's not abstract.
What do you think about cathedrals? Do you think that's art?
Yes.
Architecture?
Architecture can be art. Engineering is different.
So what about like building a robotic arm? Would that be considered art?
No.
Possibly.
You could add art to the arm, but the arm is not art. The arm is a tool. Are you going to try to say that tools are art?
They could be.
Do you think a hammer is art?
I could argue. I won't, but I could.
Now, you could make a hammer that is art by making it like a decorative piece that goes onto display, and that is art, but that's a waste of a hammer.
Okay.
Yes, okay. Now let's talk about those damn dirty, godless communists.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. Yeah, the Chinese Communist Party has now banned religious people from joining and encouraged all members to drop their religious views and insists that all must be firm Marxist atheists.
Now, when I read this article, I honestly thought it was an onion, because I always because they teach you in school that communism is atheistic.
Mm-hmm.
And that's one of the reasons why it's so messed up and wrong. So I thought this was this is how it's always been. But apparently they've gotten a little bit more relaxed recently and are now backlashing against those who may be a little bit more religious now.
Yeah.
It's the one time I will defend religion. I still think that they should. I mean, it's you got to be able to practice what you want to.
Yeah, most atheists that I know are also humanists, so they would agree with the concept of you can't, just like you can't force religion on people, you can't force non-religion on people.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Right. We support, officially, Atheist Nomad supports church-state separation. China does not have what I would consider church-state separation.
Mm-hmm.
I like a government that is neutral on matters of religion, not a government that actively oppresses religion.
Yeah.
Most people, their biggest objections to places like Saudi Arabia is the fact that they, okay, there's, that's a bad example because they actively use their religion to oppress everyone. But there's a lot of countries in the Middle East, for example, where they aren't oppressive with their religion, but they do oppress other religions. And that is bad. People should be free to believe whatever they want and also not believe anything they don't want to believe. And forcing people to not believe is as ridiculous as forcing people to believe.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So forcing these people to recant their religious views is just making it go underground, which is even more dangerous for the party, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah, I have a friend. I haven't talked to her much about it yet since she just got back, but she was doing the underground, the Christian underground for the last few months. So I'm excited to hear more about her experience there and everything that went down.
Smuggling Bibles.
Yeah. So.
Yeah. Because China, their general stance in recent years has been evangelism is illegal. So no trying to convert people. So what your friend was doing, definitely mm-hmm. illegal. And they have allowed, or at least more accurately be tolerated, specific state-friendly religions, where if you have to be religious, you can be a part of this, group X, Y, or Z. One includes a Chinese Catholic Church that has its own Pope, who is loyal to the Chinese Communist Party.
Oh my gosh!
They're definitely fine with Confucianism, which is almost not a religion at this point. They're fine with Buddhism, generally speaking, but that can also not be religious. They've been actively trying to oppress Tibetan Buddhism or make it more friendly to them. And they've been actively trying to oppress Islam in among the Uyghurs. And now they're just going to go ahead and go back to all religion is bad.
Worship the party or worship nothing.
Yeah. Fuck you, China.
Not
fuck
cool,
you, China.
China.
Ah. And then we have the formerly great secular state of Turkey. Muslim majority country that was founded on a firm separation between church and state. It was a shining example of democracy and secularism for the Muslim majority world. And that has all gone away. Slowly over the last, 10, 15 years, it has all eroded. Their president now has more powers than ever, more powers than any president has had. And their new school curriculum drops the teaching of evolution because it's too complicated for high school students to learn. And they're instead replacing it in the curriculum with teaching about jihad.
Yeah, this is going to end well.
Indoctrination.
Yeah. Alicia, you were in high school not too long ago. And you already mentioned that you learned evolution in high school. Was that too complicated for you?
Definitely not. Boring at times, but definitely not.
Yeah, complication is not the issue here. If they're going to ban it, they might as well just say why they're banning it. This whole complicated excuse is just stupid.
So when do they plan on teaching it if it's too complicated?
They don't.
Never.
Exactly.
Yeah.
You have to go to university somewhere outside of the country.
Yep.
Yeah. Oh, their other reason, the exact quote from İsmet Yılmaz, the country's education minister, is that because it is above the student's level and not directly relevant.
No, oh, boo. Boo hiss.
We are.
But jihadism is?
Apparently.
We are a part of evolution, but it doesn't pertain to us.
Yeah, I don't get that. It's, wow. Yeah. Wow. I kind of wish the military coup had gone the other way there.
Yeah, there's a lot of 2020 looking back kind of things. Like, oh.
Yeah, actually, I was quietly optimistic with that coup attempt that it was going to succeed and Erdogan was going to be deposed because he is a bastard.
He's a wingbat.
Yeah. Okay, is wingbat the term we're going with this time?
It's the word of the day.
All right. And in Israel, an Israeli Christian man is accused of stabbing his teenage daughter to death because she was dating a Muslim.
Nice.
Yeah. Yeah. She was 17.
How Christian of him.
Yeah. Hypocrisy at its best.
Yeah. Now, one thing that might be surprising here is Israeli Christians, but about half of Israelis, actually more than half of Israelis, are Arab, and about half of Arabs in Israel are Christian.
Okay.
Not Muslim. Or at least a significant portion. With Israel, Palestine, and Lebanon, there's they have very large Christian minorities that are... we're talking Christians that date back to, you know, the early church. And they apparently this guy...
He went all Old Testament on him, huh?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Yeah. The parents had tried to talk her out of dating this man. And then they started threatening her.
You don't understand me at all. Slam door.
She even stayed with her boyfriend's mother for a while. To get away from the threats.
Wow. So she was, yeah. She found somebody who may have actually tried to give her a better life. But.
And there's so many arguments saying that Christianity teaches morals. Does it really?
Yeah. Yeah. Like, normally this isn't the type of story I would have covered because it's just one bad, a singular bad individual behaving badly. There's just way too many. An Israeli Christian stabbing his daughter over a Muslim. That's special.
Yeah.
That is really special. And for another bit more local story, Ruthie Robertson was a contract teacher at BYU, Idaho. That's Brigham Young University, Idaho. They're the Mormon University's campus in Rexburg, Idaho. And she posted a statement on her personal Facebook page in favor of LGBT rights. Specifically, she said that as a current member of the LDS Church, this organization has openly and forcibly opposed same-sex relationships and legalized same-sex marriage. She also said that she believes heterosexuality and homosexuality are both natural and neither is sinful. That she doesn't support the love the sinner, hate the sin sentiment because the sin is part of who a person is. And administrators pulled her aside and told her that they, because of this, would not be renewing her contract.
Yeah, this was on her personal Facebook page. You know, they tell you not to put anything on your Facebook page that you wouldn't want your employer to see, and exactly these kind of reasons. Especially when you work for a religious organization. They'll find ways to get rid of you.
Well, it was presumably one of her Facebook friends, probably from her ward, saw it and went and told the bishop, who very easily could have been her boss, or who then
told
her boss.
It's a small community there, too. I mean, everybody knows each other in Rexburg. It's only recently that it's grown to be any kind of... Not even city, it's town. It's gone from village to town. Still got a while to go before it's a city, but yeah, it's a small town feel.
Yeah, and you know, like there's like a grand total of like 5 atheists in Rexburg. They all know each other because, well, they're the only ones, and they have their secretive meetings at Applebee's, which is one of only 2 places there that serve alcohol.
Yep,
the only place where you can get anything harder than beer, and even that's limited. Okay, you can get wine.
See,
there.
That's how you set a trap for atheists, is you set out beer or coffee,
yep,
and they will come.
But what's funny is
talk
you,
philosophy.
When I was in Rexburg on a business trip a number of years ago, quick overnight trip, I went to Applebee's because it was one of the 2 places you can get beer. I didn't want to go to the bowling alley for food. I went to Applebee's, and I was talking to the bartender, who explained that, yeah, most of the alcohol they sell there is wine, and most people ask it to be served in a regular glass.
So it looks like juice?
Uh-huh. Yep.
Rexburgians.
Secretively drinking wine. No, this is just grape juice.
And then there's the other small towns that all get together and drink beer on a baseball field and have a good old time.
Yep. Those are the non-Mormon ones.
Yep.
Yeah. Man, that sucks for this woman, though. She lost her job because she's not a bigot.
And And that is just crazy to me that your beliefs shouldn't affect your work. And it usually doesn't. So having that...
It's not like she expressed this to her students in class or anything.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It was during the summer months. I think during Pride Month she said it.
Yeah, it was.
So
last month.
It's ridiculous. So I hope she finds her way, because
she can do better.
She can do better.
Yeah. Last I heard, because Hemet Meta actually reached out to her and talked to her. It took 10 days for the administrators to pull her aside and fire her. That was just before her final class of the term.
Oh, so it was during school year.
Yeah, because BYU does a weird schedule.
Yeah, they get out in what, mid-June?
They do...
something weird. Or are they on a trimester system?
They're on a... it's kind of a quarter system, but not like the normal quarter system where summer is not a real term. This is one where they do... you go to class for like 2 months, and then you get 2 weeks off. And then you go to class for 2 months, and then you get 2 weeks off. And then you go to class for 2 months, and then you get 2 weeks off.
So it's a year-round schedule.
And it's a year-round schedule where they're expected to take off at any time to go on their mission. And they get more time to spend with their family, because Mormons care about family.
Oh, how
except
sweet.
For the gay ones.
Yep.
And secretly the black ones.
Yeah.
And not yeah. so secretly the Mexican ones.
And definitely the atheists.
But anyway, so she is... this has upset her parents, because they are hardcore LDS and feel that it was an attack on the school and the church. She has an opinion that she shared on her Facebook page, her personal wall. And she is still Mormon and is looking into other options, such as going back to school and working on graduate studies, or going to a different state to teach somewhere else.
Well, it just goes to show that there's a rift happening in the Mormon community, where the harder and harder they fight against same-sex marriage and same-sex civil rights, the deeper and deeper the split is happening between people who don't feel that way and are in the church. And they're going to have to either leave the church, which is almost impossible,
mm-hmm.
because there's nothing Mormonistic about any other religion. You can't just go to the church down the street instead. You lose your entire community, or you have to just stay there and be a part of the machine that...
yeah. Yeah, really your best bet in that kind of a situation is to either move to Salt Lake or Boise, where there's enough ex-Mormons that you can have an outlet with people who understand you and yet still try to maybe appear to be Mormon.
There are wards here that are who march in Pride Parade. I mean, there are people here in Boise who would probably welcome her with open arms. It's just she was the more conservative section of Idaho, of the Mormon church at their university.
Yeah.
They don't even let your hair get grown past your collar for past 9 p.m. kind of thing.
Yeah. Oh, man. And Rexburg is so weird. I mean, like, when I went there in that business meeting, it was, you drive in, and the apartments, we're not talking dorms, the apartments are designated as young women's housing and young men's housing. These are private apartments, not run by the school, private apartments. They don't have coffee shops, they have a hot chocolate shop.
Interesting.
The best cup of coffee in town is at McDonald's.
It's bizarro world. Blonde, blue-eyed, bizarro world.
Yeah. And everyone there is beautiful.
Yeah. I have this theory that the reason why Mormons are so beautiful is because that's how they get people to join their religion. Because every Mormon I went to school with were absolutely beautiful. They really were.
Yeah, until they reach middle age.
Yeah. Yep.
And then the balding gene kicks in for the men, and overweightness kicks in the women. And
well, by that time, the women have all had 18 children and
are worn out.
Yeah.
And are drinking wine out of glasses.
Yep.
Yep.
We talked previously about a story from Belle Plaine, Minnesota, with their Veterans Memorial Park, where they put in a cross-shaped grave marker with a soldier kneeling before it as a memorial for veterans.
Oh, I remember this story, because we were arguing that you could have done so many other things other than a cross, but no, they had to go with the cross. So what's the update?
The update is the Satanic Temple then applied to put in a monument, and their design was awesome. And so we've talked about this a couple times, the cross going in, the Satanists announcing they wanted to put something in, their actual plan on what they wanted to put in, and it is awesome with a, you know, soldier's helmet, and it's just a really tasteful monument. And the town council went ahead and voted to go ahead and just get rid of the free speech zone. So no Satanist monument, but this also means that the Christian one needs to go too.
Yeah. It's amazing how people will double down when a Satanist gets involved.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But that's what they wanted. That's why the Satanists do this, is to teach people what the separation of church and state actually means.
Mm-hmm.
Because if it's not your religion, all of a sudden you're starting to understand why the implications are bad.
Yeah. Okay, so for a little bit more on how it all went down, they put in the Joe statue, as they called it, and then they got complaints, so they took it out. Then they got more complaints that they'd taken it out, so they created the free speech zone, so they were able to put it back in. And the Satanists wanted to put in their monument, and it met all of the requirements, so they had to approve it. And everybody complained. So now, nobody gets to do it.
This is why we can't have nice things, people.
Yay! This is a victory.
It is.
I don't think the Satanists actually want to put any monuments anywhere.
No, they don't care.
Actually, I really think they don't want any anywhere, because they can keep reusing the same one as the threat.
Yeah, they just pass it around. Yep.
And they now have their threat monument for any veterans monument or veterans memorial. And they've got their Baphomet for any state capital. And they can just keep recycling these two monuments forever until nobody has religious monuments. And it is glorious and wonderful.
Yeah. Hail Satan.
Oh, man. All right. Well, that is all of the news. And we are actually at about time.
Oh, wow. Seems like we're clipping through there pretty fast, but I guess you had enough stories.
Yeah.
Way to go, Dustin. Way to be underprepared.
Yeah. Yeah. So, Alicia, how's school going?
School's going great. I'm excited to go back. Just one more year and than life, than real life.
Bills.
As a teacher.
As a teacher.
Bills.
As a teacher that wants to work in rural town anywhere, pretty much, which is going to be interesting for me, because most of them don't agree with me. But I think it'll be good.
You'll be very good for the youngins.
Yep.
Yes. There's a reason why, and I mean, you know, inner city schools get a lot of attention, and there's reasons why they get a lot of attention, but rural schools and districts are ignored.
Yeah.
They're forgotten, and many teachers aren't qualified to teach the subjects that they're teaching, and the students aren't getting the education that they should be getting.
Right. Well, by the time you graduated high school, didn't your school not have a history teacher anymore?
Yeah, I had to take history online.
And yeah, you came from a rural school, but not very far from a city.
No, and it's rural, but for Idaho, it's not that rural.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's Preston, Dietrich, Bellevue. I mean, there are places that are way out there that cannot get teachers. Mm-hmm. Nobody wants to move out there. But I've had a friend of mine who went to teach in Salmon, Idaho. It's literally like the middle of nowhere.
Mm-hmm.
And he loves it. He learned to love it.
Yeah.
And the kids love him because he's the only one who has differing opinions. He's hip. But going into teaching, best thing ever.
Yeah, I'm definitely very excited.
That's awesome. Do you have anything you'd like to plug?
Got a blog or anything you're doing?
Not currently.
Okay.
All right.
Too busy with so many other
senior. Yeah.
Yeah. Japanese next year. Another practicum, 18 credits, leading a service trip to some foreign country I don't know yet. So too busy to have any other hobbies right now.
Too busy to have opinions.
Wow. Yeah. All right. Well, survive.
If you need a break, we're here for you.
Yeah. Oh. Sleep. Remember to sleep.
There is one topic that might pique your guys' interest. I'm a sorority. I'm in a sorority mm-hmm. up there, which is great. I love it. But it's interesting. We still have a prayer. Not prayer. We read from the Bible every day before every Monday before our meetings.
Hmm.
Yeah, always some scripture.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Have you ever thrown a thorn in their side over that? Or?
I've always debated doing it, but it's been something that they've been doing since 1875, or I think it was that we were established.
But they're not particularly religious. Like there are some sororities that are Christian sororities, and there are some that are purely secular sororities. Where does yours kind of land on there?
We don't. We don't have a specific religion. So
It's just this one little thing that they do on Mondays. Yeah.
Huh. And with sororities and fraternities, they are technically independent organizations.
It's a weird gray line between we're independent organizations from the university, but the university still has quite a bit of power over the things that we do. So it's this weird line between are we really independent and not.
Yeah, huh. that's an interesting debate. I would say your senior year, you're on your way out, say, this isn't appropriate these days.
Mm-hmm.
But don't be like, we're going to sue you.
No.
Because you can't.
Well, are you going to be in any kind of a leadership position in the sorority?
I have been in leadership positions. This year, no. Seniors kind of dip out at the end and they
flake out.
Yeah.
But it wouldn't necessarily be a bad idea to bring it up in a meeting, just asking if the majority still actually want to keep doing that, if they think it's a good idea, if it actually makes anybody uncomfortable. And
I think I'm probably the only person that makes uncomfortable. I think I'm the
everybody
only.
Thinks that.
Yeah.
Everybody thinks it's just them, so they never speak up.
But I mean, I don't.
But there might be some little freshman out there who's like, this is uncomfortable.
Yeah.
Alicia, for a good example, your eighth grade graduation during the Pledge of Allegiance,
mm-hmm.
the volume in the room dropped about 15 decibels when the words "under God" were spoken. And this is in small town rural farming town in Idaho, and it seemed like about a quarter to a third of the people there skipped those two words.
Mm-hmm.
And you never would have guessed it.
Yeah.
Everybody there would have assumed everybody was a Bible thumping Christian.
Yeah. Yeah. From what I know, I think I'm the only, atheist in my sorority, but I know a couple of, agnostics or less religious, or
a little bit more apathetic.
Yeah. Yeah.
Religious.
A little more or questioning.
Okay. Then actually what might be a better approach, talk to some of those people and get the most like questioning and relatively neutral person to be the one to bring it up, because that would be somebody who would be less threatening.
Yeah. Cause they know.
Yeah.
If I were to, we have a suggestion box, and I think that it would be very obvious if I were to write that down.
Yeah. Yeah, that probably would.
I've been in that situation before.
Yep.
Well, listeners, if any of you have any suggestions, I will pass word along to Alicia.
Thank you.
And
I'll take anything.
Yeah. That's all for this week. Just remember, not all those who wander are lost. Speaking of which, you have a tattoo with that.
I do. I do have a tattoo that says that on my back, on my shoulder blade.
Awesome. Yep.
Tolkien.
Thank you for listening to another episode of Atheist Nomads. You can find show notes and contact information at atheistnomads.com. Follow us on Twitter at Atheist Nomads and like us on Facebook at facebook.com/atheistnomads. Please subscribe to the show in iTunes, Stitcher, or your podcatcher of choice. And while you're there, feel free to leave us a review. Theme music is courtesy of Sturdy Fred. Until next time, this has been the Atheist Nomads.